I'm so happy we're all here.
Yeah, me too.
Wait, who the heck are you?
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com, or you can view us live in video, in color, if you are a Patreon subscriber, by going to Patreon and supporting our show. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and as always, I am here with my amazing co-host, minus one, because Trish wasn't feeling well, as we mentioned to our Patreon subscribers before the show, so she couldn't stay for the show, but in her place, we welcome back a previous guest. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Lady Heather Lee.
Hi, Miss Lady Heather Lee. And, of course...
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to... The Dish.
So, nailed it.
She did it. I'm proud of you, girl. She's like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. What I'm going to do?
It's all right. Trish fucks it up all the time.
Oh, okay. He does. But, you know, we make it work. So as we mentioned, Chris is here. Lady Heather's here, but Trish couldn't make it. She got here into the studio. She sat down and she started working. She really wasn't feeling well, wasn't sounding well. So we just, you know, I just go home, get some rest, relax, and then we'll see you next Monday.
Did you wipe it down with Lysol?
Well, we did. Well, she never sat here. She was upstairs.
Okay, that's good.
So, yeah. No, you're good. Okay. You're safe. And so, you know, for we're just going to hold the fort down, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to talk about some... I think today's going to be an uplifting show. There's a lot of good stories and a lot of feel-good things that we're going to be talking about today, and I'm super happy about that. But before we do, we're going to be talking about today's cocktail, and I'm going to toss it over to Christopher. Christopher, what are we having today?
Today, we are having a hard cider sangria.
And so, I just wanted to give you a little bit of background. So, we know that summer, unfortunately, on the 21st, right? That's the fall solstice or whatever they call it.
I forget what it is when it's fall and spring. It's still a solstice. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of the equinoxes, which are summer and winter. Yeah. So, it is still a solstice.
You know, fall is upon us, so I thought something cider-ish, something delicious, very apple-ish, very, very flavorful and fall-y. So that's why we decided to do the hard cider sangria. So, Christopher, what's in it and how do we make it?
A perfect idea, Tom. A perfect idea. Yeah, the hard cider sangria, this recipe consists of 1 cup quartered and thinly sliced unpeeled green, yellow, and red apples.
Yummy.
Yummy. Mm. Variety. 1 navel orange. Quartered and thinly sliced crosswise, 1 cup of apple juice, 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, 1/4 cup of apple brandy, and 1 22-ounce bottle of hard apple cider. And just, it's very simple to make. In a pitcher, combine the apples with the oranges, the apple juice, the lemon juice, and the brandy. And just before serving, you want to add the hard cider, stir that up, and then pour in 2 tall glasses over ice.
And it is absolutely amazing. Delicious. Mm-hmm. So we encourage that you try them. It's a very good idea now that falls upon us. I'll tell you a little story of what I did for my weekend, because usually we'll jump into some of the things that we did for the weekend. Friday, I decided that I was going to stick around after work, after I got out of work and come home. And I had bought a whole bunch of mums. I'm getting the front ready for fall. And so I bought like all these different colored mums. And so I was replanting them in a lot of the planters that I had outside that I previously had other plants for the summer in. Mm-hmm. Sort of kind of changing things around. And now I've got to, you know, look around the property and see where else I can spruce it up a bit. But that's pretty much what I did Friday. Saturday, which we'll probably jump into some of what we're going to be talking about later.
Okay.
Saturday, we had, of course, the Pride Festival in the city of New Haven.
Right.
And so I ended up going to the block party that they had, which was on Center Street, right next to Gotham City, which is one of our LGBTQ bars.
Yep.
And we had such an amazing time. I saw a lot of great people that I had not seen in a while. And
awesome performers.
Amazing performers. overall, it was great. We're going to have a really detailed rundown of what went on and what you've seen, because you were there for a larger portion of the time than I was. And then, of course, I had to like rush over to the other side of town because I had to work Saturday night.
Right, right.
And Sunday night was no different. You know, I got up, I did some things around the house. My mom is still in town, so I made sure that she was okay. And then I worked Sunday night, and my Monday, my Monday's off is officially done.
Oh.
Right? Because during the summer months, I, from like July all the way through September, I use my vacation time to take Mondays off.
Right.
It helps because I can prepare for the show and do all that good stuff. And so this last Monday of last week was officially my last Monday off before I had to go back to Mondays. And today was brutal.
Yeah,
I
bet.
Hard.
I bet.
Because, you know, I worked last night. I got out of the bar at 1 in the morning, and then I get up at 5:30 and go to work. So it was tough.
And you had a lot of people. I saw, like, somebody kept posting on Facebook. You had, like, a whole bunch of awesome singers.
It was really great. We had a really good crowd both Saturday and Sunday. It was immensely busy in all of the bars in New Haven, which is amazing to see because, again, the community came together and they did what they had to do and they showed up, which was awesome. So, Christopher, or you know what? Ladies first. Why don't we defer to you? So, tell us a little bit about your weekend.
I'm going to try to actually get a good selfie over here.
Okay.
He was trying really
I want
hard.
That, you know, the duck face.
This Remember face that? Don't know how to duck.
Oh. If I threw something at you, you learn quickly.
So, this weekend was really, really busy with Pride. We had, or like we, the whole community. So Saturday was the 20th anniversary of the gay parade
in New Haven.
In New Haven. So it started in 1998 was the first time that they had the parade. This parade, I have to say, was I was really impressed. We had more people show up.
Mm-hmm.
Even Rosa DeLauro, our senator, was there.
Yeah.
Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
Who
we've had on the show. She's been a guest before. Right. And she also helped us during our live episode at Partners Cafe. She was holding the signs that said, fuck her, and all these other signs. And she was like totally like off like tempo, but she made it through.
And Rosa is one of our representatives.
Yes, she
is. She's our, our
She's a she's congresswoman.
In the House of Reyes. She's not one of our senators. Someone would have sent us an email, so I'm like, let me just pick that one up.
Chris Murphy is one of our senators. And then the other one is
Blumenthal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, continue. Sorry, I just knew we were going to get an email.
No, that's fine. And it's not like I was a poli-sci major at all.
And they'll probably send it to Chris, too.
So they had the parade. The kickoff was at 2:30. It was awesome. I saw so many kids. There were a lot of signs. There was a lot of rainbows. Barbara was amazing. She had this whole, like, colorful rainbow
Vegas girl
kind of feathers up and it was amazing. And then they came back and they were setting up the stage and I was there early. So it was really nice. I was able to sit and see and I brought my kids. So that was amazing. So my kids were all dressed up. My daughter was like on point. She had some kind of rainbow tutu bustle thing going on. And my mother made some comment about, like, why did she have so much makeup on?
Well, mommy, because, you know, we're going to an event. So let me ask you. Before I don't mean to interrupt, but I do want to ask you. You are a straight woman. Well,
yeah, relatively.
You have two children.
Correct.
You do a lot of events specifically for the trans community, but that impacts and crosses over with the LGBT community in a whole.
Correct.
What do your kids say? What kind of conversations do you have as a mother with your children?
So, I've been active in the community now. 4 years, I think it is. My kids, for my son, he's 10. So that means 4 years ago, he was 6. So for him, it's no big deal. So he's met my girlfriend, Allison, and he really has no, like, he has no problem. It's Allison. She's awesome. She comes, you know, they talk about things. Allison isn't necessarily the most motherly woman, but Pierce likes to hang out with her because they can talk about Fortnite and shooting and stuff. Allison Hale happens to be a transgender woman, so
so and we've had her on the show.
Exactly. So so it's really weird. It's weird but cool because he's so young that he doesn't think of it. In his vocabulary, she's a girl. because she said something too. Allison's really into martial arts and personal defense and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so they were talking about, because Pierce is really into Fortnite, and they were talking about like stealth and how you can hurt somebody, you know, and kill somebody that online. Cloak and dagger stuff. Shit. Yeah.
And if you've been living under a rock, Fortnite is a video game.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so anyway, so.
Also means 2 weeks.
So anyway, Pierce said to Allison, oh, it's really cool that you can do that, because it's not like anybody would, you know, looking at you, nobody would assume that you would know what you're doing. It's not like you look like a guy or anything.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Allison was like, oh, that's so sweet. And then my daughter is 16. And so she, of course, has been, you know, she has friends in school that are bi or gay or lesbian. And so she's decided to self-identify as bisexual. And I'm not sure she totally gets it, but mm-hmm. that's, you know, that's something. And so she was really excited to go and get a couple of pins that say like Best Buy or.
That's great.
They get very creative with these pins at some of these like.
And she wanted to get a bisexual flag or something like that. So, I mean, she hasn't told her father that would. I'm not sure how that's going to go over, but she's self-identifying, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. So, I mean, my kids are really open. The ex-mother-in-law has kind of had a problem with this because she thinks that somehow I'm infecting my children with, you know, transgender. Like, I have that.
You're infecting your children with love.
Right, and that's There's it. It doesn't
no
matter.
No other way to look at it.
No, but it's kind of, it's in a way, and we had this whole discussion to go off on a tangent because she was saying something about those people. And I was like, so are you trying to tell me that if I had a black person at my house that I couldn't have them, my children meet them? And she's like, no. She like backpedaled.
Yeah,
and stuff
exactly.
Like that.
But it's no different.
And that's what I said. I said, so what is the difference? I said, the person is black. And, you know, it's their skin tone. I said, a transgender individual, it's not like they chose to be transgender. This is them. They've gone through hell trying to figure it out. They finally accepted themselves. Love is love. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But she was just like, you know, those people. I was like,
well, you know, I have several family members that I've had to put in check. Some mm-hmm. uncles, you know, some aunts. That sort of kind of use language that's very derogatory because that's what they grew up on.
Right.
And they never had anyone that was part of the community that at this point can look back and say, no, you can't say that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not appropriate. And this is how you should address the situation. And sort of kind of becomes a learning moment for them, but it also becomes a scolding moment at the same time. And so they get very defensive. Mm-hmm. But then later on, they walk back and I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend right. your friend or whatever. And I said, and that's all you need to think
well,
about.
That's the
you know?
Only thing. But when she actually said something about, well, I don't think the children should be around your friends, I was like, who
are
the
you?
Hell are you?
Yeah.
And do you hear yourself? I mean, really, do you hear yourself? You would never say anything about, you know, a black person, Puerto Rican person, you know, anybody other, you know, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter whether you're black, pink, purple, whatever, gay, bi, trans, whatever.
You're human.
But there, I mean, people like that who have that mentality, they honestly believe, you know, if you're exposing children to gay people or transgender people that they're going to make your kid gay or they're going to make your kid start dressing in the opposite sex clothing or like they think that it's some kind of infection that can be spread.
Which is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely ridiculous. But no, and I understand that, but trying to explain to her that you're so small-minded to actually think
right.
that, like where I just very frustrating. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so my kids went, Allison went, we saw a lot of our friends were there. A lot of transgender. I saw they had a whole bunch of, so it's really about a block and a half long. It's not incredibly big, but I have to say in the last 3 years, it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
They had a main stage and they moved it. So it wasn't in the sun, which is awesome. They had a whole bunch of community centers like New Haven, the hospitals, and And a lot of the churches and stuff like that, they were all there handing out things. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of food trucks. They had a couple of queens, drag queens, had their own little booths and stuff like that. I mean, it was just, it was a lot of fun. It was good to see everybody. Everybody was there, you know, all dressed up, showing off, and everybody supported everybody. And amazing, amazing talent with the drag queens and other shows.
They had a lot of, like, real life singers that were on stage singing songs and performing. The drag queens, of course. I saw one of our local drag queens. She goes by the name of Sylvia Hart. This bitch.
She's amazing.
She was on stage and she literally just like did like a handstand and then just flipped backward and landed on her heels. Mm-hmm. And then just kept sashaying and doing her thing. She was working that crowd. I was like, you better work, girl. Yeah. You could have broken your neck doing all of that. She goes like, that's an old trick. And I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Like Lucia Virginity, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She can do some kind of like, I don't know what she does, but she loses her
head. Oh, the death drop?
Yeah, that thing.
When they like fall on the floor and then, you know. It's like, bye, girl. Boom. She's done. No, but she's good, too. You know, a lot of them, I don't think we've ever had Sylvia Hart on the show.
No.
And but we did have Lucia Virginity joined us on an episode because she was also doing work for the Imperial Sovereign Court of all of Connecticut.
Right. She was the Empress.
And she was Empress for a year. And so she came on the show to talk about the Sovereign Court and what they do and the fundraisers and why they raise money and why they come together and do such an elaborate production when it comes to their formal events. So it's awesome to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
it was really – so it was really – there was a lot going on there. And my kids had a really good time. My community showed up. We had a whole bunch of girls that showed up and were happy to express themselves. And then afterwards, we happened to have Diva Social at the same time, which
it was great because it's super busy at the bar.
Which is the monthly transgender party that I have at Partners. Mm-hmm. It's usually the third weekend.
I think you even took a picture of me and posted it on Facebook. I did. And said, my favorite bartender. I was like, oh, thank you. It was so great.
I try to take pictures, but then part of it is kind of like this dichotomy because half of them are in the closet and they don't want to be, you have their pictures and posted, then the other ones are just like so out there that they want their pictures, and I can't please them all because I got one person that was like, you didn't take my picture, and I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
But it happens. You know, it's like you're running around, someone calls you, you're having a cocktail in your hand, and you know, sort of kind of, you forget about the fact that you have a camera.
Yeah.
I forget about the fact that sometimes I even have a brain when I'm behind that bar.
Oh, no kidding. And stuff like that. And it was, I mean, it was really fun. So I did not realize that it was Pride when I organized the dates. And so within the trans community or the cross-dresser trans community, back to school is a really big event. It's when they get to put their Britney Spears on and go in their little in their little schoolgirl outfits and stuff like that, or dress like a teacher or whatever their thing is. And it's the first time, usually in the summer, a bunch of them will take off because it's too hot to wear wigs and makeup and all the accoutrements that you need to wear in order to present. So they will, when the weather supposedly gets cooler, although it was really hot.
Yes, it was this weekend. Mm-hmm.
It was very hot. So they will come out and they all like to come and stuff. And so I had like 50 people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great event.
It was
overall, it was fantastic.
I had people all the way from like New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, people hike. I know there are people that come from, I mean, New Jersey's obviously further than this, but I know people that come from northern Connecticut.
Right. I get people from Albany, and I get them from Western Mass and stuff. But I was really surprised that this group, this girl, like a handful of them came from Philly/Jersey area where Raven is and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was really...
Well, they also found out that we were doing Pride, the Pride festivities for the weekend, which entices them even more. Overall, it was a great pull. It was a great turnaround or a great turnout this time around.
Yeah, it was really good. I was really excited. So
Christopher, you're shooing something away. Fly, maybe?
It was a little fly, yes.
How was your weekend, mister?
Was good.
What'd you do?
Well, Friday and Saturday, I worked doubles and then did homework. But Sunday, I worked hard so I could play hard on Sunday. Yesterday, Liz and I, Mama, y'all remember Mama,
mm-hmm.
we went to the Two Roads Brewery in Stratford Ooh. For the Oktoberfest.
Nice. Oh. It's not even October, but sure.
Oktoberfest is celebrated in September.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, I learned something new.
That's what I'm here for. And, you know, I broke out them lederhosen. Of course.
I was going to say totally Munich, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we went out there. We had a... It was a nice... It's so hard with Liz in nursing school, and I'm taking 5 classes and working like 35 hours a week. So it's so hard for us to be able to see each other. But when we do, it picks up right where we left off last time. It's like we never skip a beat. And we just had the whole day hanging out, drinking beer, doing dancing and mm-hmm. having a great time. We went out to New Haven after. Probably not the best idea. I was hurting in the morning when I had to wake up to do math.
Oh, I can imagine.
I'm sitting in the back of the classroom this morning sweating beer while I'm doing algebra.
And probably shots of Jameson.
They did come, yes.
Yes.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a really good time. And we're going to be going to the Big E next Sunday together.
We got
2 weekends in a row, Mama.
That's
and I
right, because the Big Eastern Exposition is currently happening.
Yes.
So if you're from the area, it is in Massachusetts.
West Springfield. I believe it's West Springfield.
Somewhere
it's right
there.
By Riverside.
Yeah.
I'm dating myself that I'm saying.
I remember Riverside. I used to go to Riverside for the races before
and,
Six Flags.
And now it's Six Flags. So it's right near Six Flags. But either way, if you've never been to the Big E, it's actually very, very cool. So it's an exposition display show, and they bring
the eastern states. It's all the
New England.
All New England, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, I believe.
Maine, Rhode Island.
And they all come in. They have all these different houses, and each state sets up.
There's state houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're actually
a copy of their state capital.
And they're actually they belong to the state. So
really?
You are in the state houses, even though you're in Massachusetts, when you walk into Maine State House, you are in Maine.
So that means if you commit a crime in that state house, you are going to be tried and locked up and governed by the laws of whatever state you committed that crime in.
So be nice.
Be nice when you go in. No, but one of my favorite things...
Or do it in your own state home.
So there's a couple of things that happen, right? Like you have all these vendors that come in and they show all this amazing stuff all over. But one of my favorite things is the food, right? So
everyone's favorite
thing. Oh, God. So each state has like a baked potato. So you can go to like the state of Connecticut and get their version
of
a potato.
Not every state has a baked potato.
No, it doesn't.
That's Maine.
That's Maine.
Well, Maine has one and so does... I've had the Maine, Vermont, and I had a Connecticut, and they all do them. Yeah, they all do them differently.
I've never seen
like some of them put bacon, some of them put God knows what else. Then I had chocolate covered bacon. I believe it was in the Maine,
of course,
state house, and then I had a hamburger in between a glazed donut.
And oh, that's a Big E special. That's a Big E special.
But that, you know, what's really funny is that I've been up to Massachusetts, up in Leominster, and it seems to be like a thing. Everywhere you go, they have these glazed donuts where they put hamburgers through it.
It's amazing.
And I was like, because Crazy Donut has it. And
it is like an explosion of everything in your mouth, right? Because you're getting that beefy taste that's so good, and then the sweetness from the glazed donut, and then if you put some like cheese on it, oh my God, I'm like in heaven. You don't even need ketchup or mustard.
Mm.
It's like it's a celebration of flavors in your mouth.
So is it better than the cream puff?
Cream puff's bomb.
I don't think I've ever had a cream puff.
Oh, the cream puff is bomb.
Okay, so the last time I went to the Big E, I was dating, so that would have been like 20-something years ago.
Jesus, you need to get up there.
You need to go. It's one of those things you need to go to once every year. Yeah. This upcoming Wednesday, the 19th, is Connecticut Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
Yeah,
okay.
I usually go on Connecticut Day, but I can't make it happen this year. The Vermont house has, I don't remember if it's Vermont or New Hampshire, smoked salmon on a stick. Oh, my God. I get back in line over and over again. It's so freaking good.
And then they also have like these massive like turkey
legs.
I'm getting one.
And you walk around and it looks like the club, Bam Bam's club,
yes.
You know, just like knocks
Fred
you upside the
head
and knocks you out. I don't know what the hell they feed these turkeys, but them legs are massive.
That's incredible. You know, the MGM just moved.
In Springfield, yeah.
In Springfield,
yeah.
So you could go across the bridge.
And just go right to the casino.
Yeah.
I would. Ugh. I can't do anything for the biggie is like something you need to take the next day off. Make sure you're in the vicinity of your toilet because you literally, I always have the next day off because you're eating fried Twinkies, fried butter, fried frying oil. Like,
they even fry ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, fried ice cream is great.
I'm like, really? It's like, how do you fry? Doesn't it melt?
It's weird.
They just quickly dip it, and here you go.
It's so good. I highly recommend going to it. And one of the funniest memories, we used to play our marching band when I was in high school. We would always go on Connecticut Day, and it's so funny when you're marching in the parades there, because you'll see, like, you'll be marching in a straight line, and the next thing you know, the whole band is veering to the right. They literally have people directing you around the horse shit. You're walking. I remember you're going. That horse raises its tail, and you better be ready to sidestep because they don't stop. They poop as they move along.
Mm-hmm. They were like, nope, it's happening right here. Yep, it's like so me, true. Like me on a good day, or you, or how you're going to end up being the next day.
Exactly.
It's like wherever you go, poop.
You ain't going to be able to stop.
Carry a porta potty with you. That's all I got to say.
Oh, that's funny.
No, but it's amazing. I've had such a great time when I go every single time. And then, of course, there's the beer.
And their cocktails.
Oh.
I will tell you, it's at the Storotin.
Take out a, like, personal loan to go, or what?
Well, I mean, it can get pretty pricey, yeah.
But I will say the cocktails near the Storotin Green and the restaurant that they have there,
the old house.
Right,
yeah.
If you go in, okay, I will tell you all this. You go in, their cocktails, their large one, it's $15. Get it. Because it's literally, like, 3/4 of the cup was vodka the last time I was there, and it was all booze. So
of course it is.
It's like, yeah, you're paying $15, but $30 later, you're hammered. You're good for the day. Like, so worth it. Get the cocktails.
Yeah, it's an amazing time. So if you're in the area and you're not from New England and you don't know about the Big E or the Big Eastern Exposition, we highly recommend that you get some tickets, pick a day. Take yourself there. Bring your family. It's very family friendly.
Absolutely.
There's petting zoos. You can ride a camel, although I would never get on one because I would break that back.
And it's terrible for the animals.
Yeah, it is.
It makes me sad.
But they have a lot of, I do remember the animals, and then they also have like exhibitions like of horseback riding and blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
they show you how they milk cows, how they treat them.
The butter sculpture. Mm-hmm. It's a big 4-H festival, and they have a lot of like tractor pulls, and they have a ton of entertainment there, like Hanson, like people that you remember from the 90s showing up, Smash Mouth and stuff like that. But you'll get like Carrie Underwood and big names. It's the largest fair in New England. It's New England's fair.
Because if you lived in Wisconsin, they would have like the state fair.
Right.
You know, so it's because New England is 13 colonies.
Like literally, you can. 13. Well, New England is
13.
No, not 13. The original 13 colonies go all the way down to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is it?
So it's like 6:
Connecticut, Mass, Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine.
Okay, 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So but they're so clustered together, right? Like you can drive I can go to Maine and be there in 5 hours.
Exactly.
So everything is so close together. They figure, you know what? Let's just have one big one and throw it in the center of it all, which is Massachusetts. And by the next thing you know, it's like you've got this huge, amazing event. But what I wanted to say very quickly before we move into break, because, wow, we've been going at it. So what I wanted to say very quickly, if you're a homeowner like I am now, it's a really good time to get up there because they do a lot of really good stuff for homeowners.
Yeah, they
put in really good specials. They've got all this innovative stuff that's coming out now in the market. And so you get to see all of the new and all the bells and whistles of all the stuff that homeowners tend to want to have.
Right.
So it's also really a good opportunity to score some really good savings when you're up there.
And then they have the thing like the Wow Chamois or whatever.
ShamWow. It's the only place where you can get a ShamWow, a hot tub, and an alligator burger in the same place.
Yeah.
You can eat your alligator burger in a hot tub and clean your face with the ShamWow when you're done.
It is absolute truth. Seriously, it is. But anyway, just check out the Big E. It's a great time. Christopher, have fun. I'm so jelly.
Thank you.
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it up there this year.
It's unfortunate because it's a great time. Yeah, so we'll be recording next week's show from the toilet because
pretty much. I'll put a mic in there
perfect,
for you.
Perfect.
You
perfect.
Know, just in case.
I'm gonna be dying.
So here's what we're gonna do. That being said, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll jump into some of the stories that we have, and some more information, some great news that we have all the way from Chile. But that being said, here's some music, and we will be right back.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't. Know it, heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it, too hard to show it. Dans avec moi. Do I fall? Sun on my shoulders, the sun's on my shoulders. My heart's a winding road, but I can't control it, and nobody knows it. Do I fall in love? Do I fall in love?
Right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Dance With Me by the incredible Davis Mallory, who has been on the show before, actually twice. And he's, you know, always calling in and joining us to talk about his music, which is, as you heard, fantastic. It's very rhythmic and it gets you going. And I love him. He's very handsome, too. So that being said, welcome back, everyone. So we got a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, but I have something that's very near and dear to one of our guests, one of our hosts here on the show, and it's a project that, in collaboration with other podcasters, Nick, or aka Trish, got together with three other individuals to come up with a concept that became what we now will know as podcastersforprogress.org, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Awesome.
So it's a very cool concept. So basically, Liz Wiley, she is a blogger or a writer that she has a blog that she pretty much writes weekly, and she talks about things, you know, from parenting to social issues, etc. She's really cool. We love her. She's been a fan of the show for a long time. And then we also have Larry, or Schmo, the intern from the Idiots Radio, and of course the wonderful and ever so amazing host of the Drinks with Jess podcast, Jess Brannis, and Nick, as I mentioned. So the four of them came together and they wanted to do something special for some organization. They had a conversation about what that organization would be that really helps, you know, localized efforts in the LGBT community to bring youth and other people that may need services a lot of help. But, you know, with that, Usually that takes money. So they came up with this podcastersforprogress.org, and they had a really cool concept. And so basically what they wanted us to do is, one, go to that website, which is, again, Podcasters for Progress, podcasters4progress.org. They want you to go there and make a donation, and then they want you to go on social media, whether that's Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is, and take a picture of yourself with a duck face, right? You know, one of these, that kind of thing, if you're watching us on Patreon.
I was like, because everyone can see this. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I forgot y'all are there. I got to stop biting my nails because everyone can see me now.
Exactly.
I'm over here eating my hands.
So you take your best duck face felt selfie and you post it on social media and you hashtag duckface challenge 2018, hashtag podcasters for progress, and of course, hashtag Stonewall Community Foundation. And when you do that, you also tag four of your friends, right? Because you want four other people to not only know about the endeavor or the initiative, but you want them to also participate and possibly donate. And then they tag four other people and so on. And it becomes this amazing chain of just beautiful, a beautiful initiative to just provide help and support for those that need it most in our community.
Correct.
So earlier today, I was at work, so I have to tell you a little story. So Shmo, the intern, sends me a message on the Gay Talk phone yesterday, and he's like, the website is up, and I need you to go up and take a duck face selfie and post it right now and tell everybody about it. And I was just like, I'm in the middle of something, and I'm off today, by the way, so I'm not doing this today. I'll do it tomorrow. And that was my response. He's just like, well, I just want you to know, you know, and you know how Larry is. Shmo. He's just so cute.
It's so weird when you say Larry.
I know, right? Who? Larry. Shmo the intern. And so I ended up posting it this morning before I got to work. Well, before I started working, I took the selfie with my little duck face and I tagged Heather. Yep. And I tagged, who else did I tag?
Allison.
I tagged Allison. I tagged my friend Jackie. I tagged a couple of people. And, you know, and those that I didn't tag, I said, if you want to participate and you want to go to the website and donate, do so too. And so, as I mentioned before, it basically supports the Stonewall Community Foundation. And a little bit about that particular foundation, just to let you know that anything that you donate, 100% of all donations will go to the Stonewall Community Foundation.
That's so awesome. Fantastic.
They're not keeping anything. The website was created all pro bono with our dollars. Well, the four people that founded the organization, mm-hmm. it was all pro bono. They did it themselves. They don't want any money. They just want to help this organization. So the StonewallFoundation.org is a website. And I wanted to give you just a little bit of an overview of what it is that they are and what they do. And here's what they have on their website. Quote, we are a foundation by and for the LGBT community. We raise money and fund work that makes a difference on the issues that matter in our lives, from education and violence to family acceptance and health. With a focus on equity, we are one of the, I was thinking that they may have meant equality. We are one of the top funders of LGBTQ housing and homelessness. And nearly a third of all of our grants benefit programs serve the youth. Though we have no formal affiliation with the Stonewall Inn, we bear part of its historic name to honor the 1969 uprising that started there and the spirit of freedom, resilience, and the resolve that abides today.
Awesome.
And it's amazing. So if you want to participate, we encourage that you go on Facebook and, again, on social media, take your best duck face selfie.
I've been practicing.
Yeah, I know. She's been taking pictures. I mean, if you're watching the live video stream on Patreon, you can see us with our phones and we're like in front of the microphones and trying to do our little best duck face. But it's an amazing thing. And I encourage that you all participate. So earlier today, I said, Chris, and I sent a message to Chris and Nick, and I said, can y'all send me your duck face photos, please, so that we can post them on today's post?
I wish I had a duck mask. I wish I did so badly, because that is what you would have gotten.
Howard the Duck. Do you know who Howard the Duck is?
Howard the Duck?
Yeah.
Do you?
Howard the Duck is a movie that came out.
It was a movie in the 80s?
Yeah, it's like late
80s. I was born in the early 90s, so I probably
didn't.
No, I probably did. I mean, if it came out in the 80s, it was still prevalent in the 90s.
It was like a combination cheesy. Of like, it was a cheesy, very campy movie, but it combined like elements of like E.T. with like weird, like...
No green screen.
It was all wickedly weird. So anyway, just so that you can see, Chris, Howard the Duck is.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. So it was a good movie. I really, really, really liked it because, again, I was younger when it came out. And so I was all into that whole campy, sci-fi stuff. And
see, if you go on a duck tour, they have those duck whistles.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah. I still like the, what was the duck song or something when the man walks up to the lemonade stand? And they're like, and he waddled away, waddle, waddle, waddle. And he waddled away, waddle, 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 till the very next day. Oh, it's so great.
Is that the Wiggles?
No, it was like a, no. Like, I remember them. I remember them. I was young enough for the Wiggles. No, it was just like a YouTube hit.
So what I'm hearing is I'm going to get a very funny commitment of a duck face photo from you so that we can post it.
When did you hear that? I don't think any of that came up in the discussion we just
had. Didn't we just hear that? Right? We're waiting. Seriously, it's for a good cause. So, and then you got to tag Mama. Maybe Mama could use that distraction. That'll be fun for
her.
And then maybe a couple of other people. I'm thinking, who should
you like my
tag?
Roommate. Yeah,
that'll definitely Jose.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You'll see me make a duck face before he makes a duck face.
Right. But there's a couple of other people I think you can tag.
I'm going to tag Tommy.
And you can't tag me because I've already done it.
All right.
All right. See, you heard it here. He's going to do it.
Yep.
So, Miss Heather, you did...
a couple.
A couple? How many couples?
Two.
Two?
Yeah.
How many people did you tag?
I haven't done it yet. I was taking the picture.
Oh, you were taking the pictures and you're going to post it.
I'm going to post it. And then I will tag, I figure, like Bobby and people that I know that will duck face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Bobby will definitely be down to duck face now, honey. She'll be having that nice little shirt. The girls will be out. She'll be like,
I want to see Schmo's duck face.
Oh, he had lipstick on. He put it on Facebook. He did. He literally pouted his lips with lipstick.
I have some awesome lipstick that we could put on you, Chris. It would be God. Amazing. I do. I have this awesome purple, like shiny.
Do you have it on you right now?
Yeah, it's in my
purse. Oh, God, no. Absolutely not.
We'll wipe it off.
That shit won't come off, and I'll be going to class tomorrow.
No, it comes off.
I was like, I'll be the one that stays on and looks like I blew Barney. Like, that's all I got to do. Walk in, hungover to history. Like, what happened yesterday? I don't know.
All I know is I was in Barney's crotch. I can't.
I don't think Barney had glitter. Just saying.
Oh, what is glitter?
Huh? Drag droppings. That's right.
Oh, that's what we call glitter.
Drag droppings.
Somebody posted a picture on I think it was my Snapchat, and they were like, "Oh, look, glitter all over the place." And I'm like, I remembered what Chris said. I'm like, "Those are drag droppings.
Right. Glitter, fake nails." Those things you just find like a fucking nail on the ground. It's like drag droppings.
Oh, Lord have mercy, but they're amazing, though.
The occasional wig. You're like, it's
eyelash.
Off.
Eyelash.
Yeah, exactly. Like a set of lashes, not like one eyelash. Yeah.
So I can tell you that we're going to get Christopher to do a duck face. I just can't guarantee that it'll have lipstick because, we're going to have to literally tie him down and to be able to do that. All right. So I have... Gosh, I'm tired of talking. My mouth is dry. I feel like I smoked a blunt and I have cotton mouth and I'm sitting. I did not, just letting you know.
We don't endorse drug use.
No. Although it is legal in certain states, so it's not a
and
bad
go ahead,
thing.
Fuck it, smoke it.
Yeah, I will.
Melissa Etheridge says so.
Yeah, I will. I love her.
I do too.
I still remember that one time that we had Melissa on the show
fucking
and
Paul.
We were talking about... having some herbal stuff. And you know, I said, Melissa, we'll do a cocktail in your honor. And we're talking about cocktails. She goes, I'm really not into alcohol, but I can definitely do herbal. And of course, we had Paul on the show at the time. He's like, oh, so yeah, we can get you some tea or something.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'm more into the herbal kind of stuff. And Paul's like, yeah, we can do tea and shots.
And we were like, Paul, wrong herbal. Yeah. Wrong herbal. You didn't get it. He's like, oh, yeah. No, so no. I remember that. I love Melissa. She's amazing. But anyway, so very quickly, before we go into the story about Chile, I wanted to go back fairly quickly to the Pride Festival that we had. There were a couple of people that you wanted to sort of kind of talk and mention because they organized and helped us.
Correct. So the block party that was done at Center Street was from the New Haven Pride Center. And Barbara Jones Street Sand Amore. I got it.
Oh, she's got an Amore now. She added Amore to her last name. She's a mother or a daughter?
She's a daughter.
She's a daughter of someone who has the last name Amore.
Right. Yeah. Karen Josephine and Ms. Destiny Nations and Tiana Maxim Rose were all co-hostess. Yes.
Yes.
And then Patrick Dunn, who is the director of the New Haven Pride Center.
Let's give him his proper name, the executive director.
Oh,
he's fabulous.
He's amazing.
He was on the show last week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he came on. He talked about the Pride event. We did the schedule. It went out in our newsletter because we do have a newsletter. You can sign up on our website, gaytalk20.com.
Oh, I'll click.
Yeah.
I'll click.
Click, click.
Click, click. And then Joshua O'Connell, Jonathan Lucibelli. Did I say it right?
Yep.
Rob Bartolomeo.
Those are the owners or co-owners of Gotham City, which is one of our LGBTQ bars.
And actually, Rob was interviewed by WTNH, which is Channel 8 here in New Haven.
Yep.
I saw there was a lot of TV cameras. Last year, not so many. Yep. This year, there was a whole bunch.
Well, there was a huge focus on the event because I think that we collectively, as a community, all the bars jumped on board. A lot of places, for example, Barracuda in downtown New Haven, which is a restaurant owned by a member of the LGBT community. Her name is Sonia Salazar. She's
amazing.
She's an amazing soul. I can tell you that no matter when I go to her, when we do our live events, I walk in and I'm like, Sonia, we're having a live event. Do you think you can throw us a couple of gift certificates here and there for us to give away? Absolutely. How many do you need? No questions asked. She's so into helping the community and being involved.
And
she's great.
Amazing. Every time we go and I have my girls come and stuff like that, she's totally... she always fits us in because, you know, it's a small restaurant. I'm looking forward to our new restaurant.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what else. I lost my train of thought and I'm not cursive yet.
People. She's not cursive yet.
Beyond that, there were, I'm trying to think what else. So those are the people Rob. I'm babbling, aren't I? So
yeah, we mentioned Rob already.
Okay, WTNH, enough with him. Blah blah blah. I had a point, and it's gone. So now it's grounded. Thank you so much for interrupting me. And you can cut this when you edit.
And also, you know, Dave.
And Dave. Oh, that's it. Okay, so 168 had something going on. Dave at Partners Cafe. They had something the night before, which was
the kickoff party.
Right.
For the weekend.
Miss Gay.
Connecticut.
Connecticut. 168 had a tea party.
Yes.
Or the tea dance. Dance.
See, on Sunday.
Am I sis or what? It's a tea party.
No, that happened in Boston.
Tea party, it's a tea dance.
The tea dance.
I get it. We were talking about herbal stuff. Poor Melissa. Oh, Paul.
And then, so basically it was the whole entire weekend. I think I was just saying that we had a whole bunch of people turning out and it was really awesome. Oh, so my point that now I found is that there were a lot of children, transgender children that were wearing the transgender flag. And I'm talking about, students that were probably somebody from Shelton, brought like three or four. It was just fun to see the younger kids. So they were young, and then they were teenagers, and so they're starting to self-identify and stuff like that. Definitely within the last 3 years, there has been an increase in more students and families showing up and showing their support.
Which is amazing. Well, yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, this is not something new. We have been doing these kind of festivals in September quite often, but they were usually like 1 or 2 day events, right? They would be the weekend. This year,
it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
The entire week, because not only did we do the main festival the entire weekend, right, kicked off in a lot of the bar spaces, in a lot of the restaurants, but during the week, we had a lot of other people in other escapades. Businesses. Yeah, we had escapades.
Yeah, I saw that they were doing that again. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Oh, he's so amazing. Luis Antonio?
Yeah,
very talented. We went to see it, and it gave me chills. It actually was scary at some points. It's beautiful.
I wish that it went a little longer, because it's really hard for me being, you know, I live outside of the city. So in order to come in with my kids and stuff like that, I wish it kind of went a little longer, but I understand.
Longer in the sense of a longer run?
A longer run.
Like multiple days.
Like multiple days.
Yeah, well, they ended up doing one only because the schedule is very it's very tight. He's actually moving. Yeah. He's going to California.
No.
And he's going to be doing some stuff out there.
No.
And so when he does, he will be coming back for some local performances, but he is moving.
Oh, I'm happy for him, but no.
But he's not.
Which is why he only had one performance for this week.
Okay.
And it was specifically designed and created and done during this week for Pride.
It's actually really interesting. You know, I had the same problem regarding publicity, trying to get the word out. So, yes, he's on my feed. I knew about it, but I didn't realize that he was leaving, and I didn't realize that it was only one. I wish that I had known that, then I maybe might have been able to actually get there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have the same problem with my events. People are like, but I didn't see it. I'm like, I swear to God, I put it up every single day, and I feel like I'm just spamming people. Yeah. So, like, why aren't you getting it? So it's kind of like, you know.
I think that your Diva Social needs a website. And it needs a mailing list, and it needs as many modes of communication possible that you can reach out to people so that they're all aware and ready to go. And not just rely on Facebook, because you only get a specific target.
Yeah, but
when
I'm old school, so somebody help me.
That's okay. I will help you.
I mean, that's a very good point. And if you look at it now, look at where you're getting people from.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting people from out of state.
Yeah. Right.
Using only Facebook, not having the website. Yeah. Imagine.
Well, Fet Life.
I will teach you, girl.
Okay.
I'll teach you. We'll help you.
I get it. I can't social media to
save
my life.
No, and part of it is that it used to be that you could just do it one place. Like, there's so many different places, and having a website cost a lot of money. I guess now with WordPress or other places that it doesn't cost as much money. But it used to be like, okay, I'm still old school, because I call it when you reboot, you know, you do a hard reboot, and people are like, what does that mean?
Oh, the floppy disk. Remember those that you had to insert? Then the CDs came along. Now it's a hard, like, you know, a stick.
No, I'll talk to somebody and be like, so do you want me to hard reboot my computer? And they're so young, they're like, you can just turn it off and on.
Restart, baby, restart. Crazy. But either way, I can't get over how much fun it was to see the community really come together this year for Pride.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy. I'm super proud of the community. And I'm super proud of all the businesses and all the local establishments that jumped on board and that helped us have a successful festival.
And I really think that within the transgender community, that students, for example, my daughter is a junior in high school and stuff. It's really not an issue. For students, anybody from high school and below, they don't really bat an eye. It could be older people that have problems with it, but...
And that's normal.
Well, it's, you know, typically that generation.
And the older they are, it's like they can't grasp it. I don't know if it's just...
They can't unlearn what they've learned or what was drilled into them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've had this discussion, which is, it's really interesting. It's like the first thing that somebody asks is like, so are you gay? So if you say you're transgender, the first question is, so are you gay?
No.
Are you lesbian? Like, and the question is, why does it matter who I sleep with? Mm-hmm. That does not define me.
Right, exactly.
Right. And so I actually was talking to my parents. My father's almost 80 years old. So we're having this discussion about trans. And, you know, I was saying, it's like every, you know, it's kind of, it's frustrating in the fact that people be like, so are you a lesbian? So are you gay? And I'm kind of like, how about, it doesn't matter. It's none of your business.
Right.
And my father was really, it was really interesting what he said. I was like, why is everybody so interested in like who I'm sleeping with or what's under the undercarriage, you know, like what anybody's wearing or has or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my father said, it's because people are trying to find a similarity. So if I'm heterosexual and you now say that you are dating a trans woman, are you gay? No. Are you lesbian? Yeah, I guess so, you know? And so they're just trying to find something in common that they can pigeonhole you with.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
But you can't do that anymore, right? Because when you really think about transgender and what it means to be transgender, you have to remove sexuality from it. It's a state of what you think you are in your mind, right? The state of mind. Mm-hmm. It's a state of what you feel you are.
Right. But Maslow and his, like, I think three or four truths or whatever, the five
hierarchies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of them is sex.
Christopher, look at you.
I kind of started going to college.
Yeah. So one of them, like, you know, you have, you know, somewhere to live.
Survival's, you know, on the bottom.
Yeah. But one of them is sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so sex then becomes, sex is for the procreation of and support of your species.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think that's the only reason why it's there. It's important because that's how, as a species, we survive, but it's not
right. How
every individual survives.
Right. But it's still, there's that underlying thing because mm-hmm. people are like so focused on, they can't just let it go. It doesn't matter who you sleep with, but really everybody asks that question.
Mm-hmm. It's his hierarchy of needs.
Okay.
And it's actually the third one, love/belonging, but mm-hmm. sex falls into that one.
Right. And so therefore, like, is because we've been having this really big conversation about the fact, like, why does it matter? Why do you need to know who I'm sleeping with? What their, you know, like, their parts are and stuff like that. It just, you know, it's very frustrating. And I get it to one point, but the other point is it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. But again, you know, it's hard to unlearn something that you've been drilled into.
Right.
That's been drilled into your upbringing, the way of life. Religion has a lot to do with that. You know, there's so many variables that just doesn't allow a certain person of a certain generation really grasp the concept right. of pansexuality or, you know, transgender. It's very hard for them to grasp it. And our role is to, I think for me, the most important role I have is that when I hear someone say something that's not right,
mm-hmm.
and although they may not be able to grasp it and they may at some point repeat
right.
what they're going to say, is to point it out to them.
Well, and I mean, part of it, when I first got in the community, I mean, it really was a mental aerobics or whatever. Like, my mind had to, like, my mind, like, twisted and turned trying to figure it out. And part of it is within the rainbow, everybody else has to do with sex. You're either asexual, you're bisexual, you're homosexual, you're heterosexual. Well, if you're trans, at one point in time, is transsexual. But if you're a transgender, it has not, like you said, it has nothing to do with who you sleep with. It has to do with your gender and how self-expression, who you really feel you are inside. So it has nothing to do with who you sleep with. Because, you know, a lot of people that are transgender, they can get to the point where they will, they'll either be lesbian, they'll either be gay, or they will then become heterosexual. You know, just depending. But it's like, you know, it's that little mind, like, you have to turn around and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, listen, I've always believed that to each his own, let people live, be respectful, you know, be a human and treat people like human beings.
But it really does. Why do you care who people sleep with? Why is that an important thing?
Sadly, because that's what we've been brought up to think that is important. And
so within a generation, it'll change.
And you're starting to see that now with the younger generation, the millennials, you know, that things are not as dire when it comes to homosexuality or bisexuality, transgenderness. It's not really an issue for people that are millennials or zennials or the generations that came after the baby boomers. And I think that that's going to be a very huge shift, not only politically, because we're going to start seeing a lot of social changes that are more in line with what most of America thinks it should be.
I think there's going to be definitely more fluctuation and not as many like rigid little separations. Yeah. You know, it just kind of like flows one to another and who cares?
Exactly. Let it be. Mm-hmm. Let it be. Let it be. Love is love. That's the name of Trish's new podcast.
Love is Love podcast.
Yes. All right. So we've got one more story that we're going to talk about, and then we'll probably wrap it up and bring it home. And I wanted to talk about Chile. Chile is a country in South America. If you don't know, it is a Spanish-speaking country. A lot of people that speak Spanish live there. Duh. But,
brilliant observation, Tom.
Right?
Geographical genius.
Are you sure it's Chile and not Chile?
Chile. So anyway, trans people in Chile can actually now change their names and gender without having to go through surgery. A bill passed 95-46. That's a huge margin. Two-thirds. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Passed, basically saying that, you know, you can now legally change your name, your gender, without having to go through surgery. This story was reported in the GayStarNews.com website. The House of Deputies passed a gender identity bill on September 12th with a vote of 95-46. It allows anyone over the age of 14 years old, to self-identify their gender. People between the ages of 14 and 18 years old will need consent from their parents or legal guardians to do so. President Sebastián Piñera must sign the bill into law within 30 days so that it could become law. But he has publicly supported the bill, and he is expected to do so. Hmm. Trans advocacy groups organizing Diversidad tweeted yesterday, "Today, Chile takes a historic step forward in inclusion and transgender identities." Quote, "Let's now eradicate transphobia in schools, on the streets, and in the workplace. Today is everyone's responsibility to protect trans." He says, "Today, it is everyone's responsibility to protect trans youth." They tweeted. And I thought, when I read the story, I was like, wow. Here we are in America, right? We have a president that's publicly going out there and, you know, barraging and advocating for the elimination of transgender folks who want to protect and serve in our military. Correct. And we've got several other politicians in certain states who want to do away or take away transgender rights.
November 3rd, what is it? Question 3 in Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that is.
You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, so in Massachusetts, I think it was a couple of years ago. I'm sorry, I don't know all the details. They had agreed to... They were one of the first states that put transgender rights up. Like, they voted on it, and they approved it, and everything was hunky-dory. And I think then Trump came into power. So they're trying to rescind the trans rights that are already established in Massachusetts. It's the number supposed to vote yes.
So here is what question 3 says.
Why you have a MacBook?
Yeah, that's what I'm reading about right now.
So question 3 in Massachusetts, it's a veto referendum that will be on the ballot on November 6, 2018. So during the midterm elections, a no vote would repeal a 2016 law, Senate Bill 2407, that prohibits discrimination in public accommodations on the basis of gender identity. So if you are a member of the LGBT community or an ally or someone that supports our endeavors and our way of life, you need to vote yes.
Right. Vote yes on question number 3, November 3rd?
That you support. That is correct. It's going to be, no, November 6th, 2018.
Sixth. Okay.
That's the Tuesday election, yeah. election day. And so by voting no, you're saying that, you know, you don't want this law on the books that protects transgender rights.
Right. And so there's a big push in Massachusetts, especially within the LGBTQ community. I have a lot of friends, Fishnets is a closed group within Facebook. If people are interested in finding a place where cross-dressers and trans individuals, it's called Fishnets. You can like try.
Look it up.
Look it up or whatever. And it's literally Fishnets. And on there, the used to be the Tiffany Club of New England. It's now called the Trans Club of New England. They're a really big organization in Boston, Massachusetts, and they're very active. And they're the ones that do First Event, which is the it's a huge transgender conference in the end of January.
And you know, it strikes me that they would put something like this on referendum or put it on the ballot because. When you think about Massachusetts, they were one of, if not the first state that granted marriage equality in the United States.
Yeah, they were the first state.
And for they've always been very, very LGBTQ forward,
right?
As far as support and being at the forefront of setting the tone and the stage for equality.
And this is like an exemplar of what had happened. For example, within the military, where mm-hmm. they all came out supporting transgender, everything, and then Trump came in, and then he started tweeting, you know, whatever. So it's the same thing happened in Massachusetts, which is it was everybody agreed, everybody voted on it, and then
boom, this idiot comes on the mic, and then oh, well,
maybe
we don't need this,
right?
Yeah, and it just sucks, you know. It's just to me, I'm happy to see that, you know. Especially in a Latino American country.
Mm-hmm.
That was so Spanglish.
So, muy.
En un país de Latinoamérica, right? A country in Latin America. To see that transgender rights and LGBTQ rights are being honored and protected and very...
Just acknowledged, too.
Acknowledged. You know, the fact that you can say, yeah, I am, and I can be who I am and identify... It's a big deal for a Latin country, mm-hmm. you know, a country that speaks Spanish, because as we know, men in Latin America and in the Caribbean are very machista. They're very...
Machismo?
Yeah, machismo is a very, very big, very mm-hmm. big. And so to see that happen, I think that's fantastic and amazing news. And congratulations to the people of Chile.
Go Chile.
Yay!
Yay, Chile.
All right, so Christopher, do you have anything for us?
Well, I just have a fun fact about it. So yes, Massachusetts was indeed the first state in the union to legalize marriage equality. In 2003, Massachusetts became the first state to allow gay marriage after its highest court ruled the state's ban violated the constitutional rights of same-sex couples. Vermont, on the other hand, in 2009, became the first state to legalize gay marriage by legislative means. Vermont in the year 2000 had become the first state to allow civil unions for gay couples after the state legislature passed the measure. Governor Jim Douglas vetoed it, but the legislators then voted to override it.
Because they had the supermajority, which is what could happen in our Senate and state, you know.
We'll find out. I still want to have an election night party, even though the last one didn't end out too well.
Yeah, if you ever hold up our election episode, I think we should. I think we can do this.
I want to have an election night party, even if we don't do an official episode. I just want to have an election night party.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's like the fucking Super Bowl. Like you get
for America,
yeah,
right?
It's so great.
So are you talking the midterms? Or
midterms.
Okay.
And we can do one every time, of course, for the
general election, definitely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just love drinking and watching it, state by state. Except, you know, when you lose, it sucks.
It does. Yes. Let me tell you, 2016 was one of the most devastating elections for America and for us. We were actually recording that night, mm-hmm. our election episode. It was one of our special episodes that we did. And we started off all optimistic and we're so happy-go-lucky. And by the time you get half hour in, we're worried. Yeah. We're like, oh, shit. And we're crying.
I know. And Trish found me crying in the kitchen, on one of the breaks. He came over and I was like, this is not okay.
It was tough. It's tough to listen to that episode now.
I will never.
Oh, I have several times, and I'm like, wow. It's just like, because I need to be reminded what I felt that day.
No, and it's true, because it was like
because because with all the craziness that's happening, right, it's happening so consistently and it's so in your face that some people are becoming complacent about the whole feeling, right?
Do you think we're being gaslighted?
Maybe. I think so. And I think that people have become complacent and very...
it's the new normal.
It's the new normal, exactly. And for me, I needed to be reminded what I felt that day, the despair, the sense of, oh my God.
This can't really be happening.
This can't really be happening. You know, it's like watching that first episode of American Horror Story Cult. When you see Sarah Paulson's reaction to Trump winning, because that's how the show starts. Right, American Horror Story Cult. The show starts on election night, and her reaction and how that sets her off, and then it just goes on this incredible, weird thing. And I was just like, "Oh my God!" That's like her despair in that moment is what I felt, and it was in my gut. Do you remember that, Chris? He was crying.
I'll never forget it.
Oh, it was just crazy.
We are literally living in the time that's going to be put in the history books.
I think so.
Totally. When I'm a history professor, I'm going to be teaching about the 2016 election.
Yeah.
So you're going to be a political science teacher?
No, well, I mean, even if I'm teaching history.
Yeah. Political science history?
Or just history. It's history. It's American history.
I think that you would do amazing as a political science teacher.
I'm taking poli-sci next semester, so I'm excited. I've never had a poli-sci class before.
We'll have another Rachel Maddow here on Gay Talk 2.0. Yes! All right. Well, listen, ladies and gents, we should be wrapping this up and bringing it home. So we are going to, of course, talk about two more important things. The first of which is the Gay Talk term for today. And we're going to have our guest host read it for us today. So our Gay Talk term for today is brought to you by UnicornBooty.com.
Did I get it?
Nailed it, kind of.
Let's do it again.
All right. Today's Gay Talk term is brought to you by UnicornBooty.com. Thank you, Lady Heather. Proud of you, girl. All right. So what is our term for today?
So the Gay Talk term today is Railroad Queen. It dates from the 1940s. Mm-hmm. It is a homosexual who haunted hobo jungles and rail yards in hopes of stumbling across a stray tramp to love.
I love these.
So again, a homosexual who haunts hobo jungles, or known as rail yards, in hopes of stumbling across that straight tramp.
So Lady and the Tramp or Tramp and Tramp?
Tramp.
Yeah,
tramp.
Right.
In other words, someone looking for sex. Mm-hmm. So Christopher, what do we have for On This Day in Gay History?
Yes. On This Day in Gay History, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
It's, we failed to mention last week we recorded on September 10th. Of course, the next Tuesday was September 11th. Mm-hmm. So on this day in gay history, September 17th, 2001, partner of the Flight 93 Hero was presented with the American flag in California. Mark Bingham's actions on the Flight 93 that was hijacked on September 11th helped bring the plane down in Pennsylvania, keeping it from reaching its intended target. Mm-hmm. Senators John McCain and Barbara Boxer commemorated him and other victims at a ceremony in San Francisco on this day. Bingham's partner of 6 years, Paul Holm, was presented with a folded American flag.
Which is amazing. I would have really loved to see that because I don't think that that's something that we've ever seen before. Someone's spouse being given a folded flag. And if you like our Gay Talk page, the Gay Talk 2.0 Facebook page, you'll notice that I had posted a little message about Mark
Bingham.
Yes. He was an American public relations executive who founded his own company, the Bingham Group. Along with Bingham, there were other people, for example, Tom Burnett, Jeremy Glick, and Todd Beamer, who collectively came together and helped bring the hijacked plane. They devised a plan to take it back. And that was the plane, of course, that crashed in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And, they basically thought that one of two places could have been impacted by this plane. It could have been either the White House or the U.S. Capitol at the time.
And I think, you know, with it being 2000, because obviously spouses are presented with folded flags.
And that's Mark.
Right. I just thought it was incredible, especially in 2001, that they were honoring their spouse as their legal spouse, right. whether it was legal or not, that they were treating him with such respect and dignity for the ultimate sacrifice that his partner had paid.
Mm-hmm. So it truly will be, and it still is and will always be, one of the saddest days in American history. Not to mention, D-Day,
Pearl Harbor,
all the big events. September 11th will always be one of those dates that no matter where you're at, what age you are, you will always remember where you were and what exactly you were doing at the time that it happened.
You know, it's fun, like, not funny, but interesting about that. There are now the generations that weren't born for it.
Yes.
My daughter was in utero.
See, those generations are here. Like, even in my history class, about half the class were born that year.
Yeah.
So they don't remember anything, obviously.
And I think it's a good thing. In a sense, because...
But you can't...
You can't protect them from it, right?
But the world has changed so much. My daughter was talking about that. It was September 11th. Her teacher was like, I guess, middle school, which blows my mind. But he was asking everybody, are you the first class? And they're the first class that was not born. So the class before had been born. And, how the world has changed. Like, I can remember what it used to be like to get, when they were talking about getting on a plane. Mm-hmm. It used to be no big deal. You literally got on a plane. You didn't have to take off your shoes. You didn't have to take off your belt. You didn't have to, 3 ounces or anything like that.
You can still smoke in some international flights back then.
You can literally just get on like you were getting on a bus. No big deal.
When I was flying home, or flying to Alaska from Minneapolis, my mom worked for Northwest Airlines. We used to always fly standby and fly for free. I spent like an hour in the cockpit.
Yeah.
I was a little kid, and that was when they would leave the cockpit door open, or it was never locked. And they would allow kids to go
you
in there.
You could go
in,
meet
the pilots.
You mean you didn't have a leash on then?
We had gotten past that part.
Yeah.
If there was a giraffe exhibit or lions, that's a different story. But in the airplane, my mom knows I wasn't going to open the door.
You never should assume anything, Mom.
I mean, you open the toilet seat at a freaking Home Depot.
Oh, you remember when I tried to poop at a Home Depot in a display toilet?
He was a baby, and they took him off his leash, and he went and sat in the toilet. He's like, look, Mommy, I'm doing a good job.
The guy's like, excuse me, miss, does that boy belong to you?
That is hysterical, but I have to say, as a mom, that's not so surprising.
But you're right. It's like, they'll never know what it was like to be in a classroom, and as much as teachers try to, hide,
right,
or not show the kids, it's like you couldn't help but just be gravitated towards the images that were being displayed on every major news. Every network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was on everything. Like we watched it come down. And then I worked at, the Fusco building next to the, oil depot, is that Long Wharf?
Yeah.
What it's called. Mm-hmm. They literally let us out. They people left. We got into our cars and we just.
Well, we closed the store where I was working because we thought that, we were being attacked and that something was going to happen. We have a nuclear power plant not even 25 miles from here up towards, going towards Massachusetts. And we were like, we're going home. Shit's going down.
Yeah.
And I am not going to die in this store. I'm sorry.
Everybody wanted to just go home.
And for a moment, people didn't, when the first plane hit, people thought it was an accident. No one knew what was going on. And then they're watching it. And all of a sudden you see the next plane hit.
One. Well, here's the thing, right? So when that happened, I was watching the TV and I kept seeing replays, right? They were constantly doing replays. So when the second plane hit, I thought they were doing side by sides of what the building looks like now burning and the plane hitting. I didn't realize until like a good 20 minutes later
that was another attack.
That was another plane hit in the building, and that the North Tower got hit.
And when they collapsed, everybody was like, no, it's not going to collapse, blah, 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 And then, I worked at DSL.net down in Long Wharf, and everybody just freaked out. Mm-hmm. And also where the World Trade towers were, underneath was the main exchange for telecommunications down below there. Mm-hmm. And so that my job, so everything shut down. It took took 6 months for all of that to get fixed. Mm. And that was prior. That was like when DSL and internet was starting way back when.
Yeah. You still had to have those modulators that you plugged into so that you wouldn't hear like...
the blockers.
Yeah.
I'm old enough that we actually had dial-up in our...
I remember AOL. Welcome.
I remember dial-up too.
Welcome. You've got mail. Or Netscape or the CDs that you had to buy.
War games with Matthew Broderick, when the one where you took the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had to get these CDs and use like Netscape for $9.99 a month, and then you would dial up, and it took forever. God forbid. And then back then, computers only had like 560 megabytes of like memory space and RAM, and today it's like 12 gigs.
My first computer had 387.
Jesus. All right. That being said.
It's crazy.
Let's wrap this up. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again. If you do love our show, and we are happy that you do, please rate and review our show on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show, and it ensures that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. By subscribing to the show, you get the latest and greatest delivered right to your favorite device as soon as the episode is published. And for those of you who are on our Patreon, you already know this, but you can be a supporter of our show by just going to Patreon and signing up. Doing so, you can actually help our show by pledging a donation. Any donation is welcome. I think the least you can do is at least $1, and we'll take it. We'll take it. Mm-hmm. But you can and you will help the show because then we can do stuff like this so that you can see us. This is something new that we're trying. And, of course, other things that we want to incorporate and bring so that we can enhance your listening and your visual experience. Christopher?
And next week, if we're all here, it's all about the boys.
Once again.
Unless Trish books someone, which is very possible.
It is possible.
So it's going to be a full episode of us just dishing about stories from the week.
Yeah. And of course, you know, as you know, it was a big surprise. So give me your hand, baby girl. I want to touch you. I want to touch you. I want to thank our guest host today, Heather Lee, or as I call her, Lady Heather,
only one
for joining us on today's show.
Only one thank you? She only gets one?
No.
I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Uh-oh, Trish, she outdid you.
Wait.
Mwah! Aww.
I got to plug my headset back in. We're back. So thank you again. Thank you again for joining us. It is amazing to have you. You are, as I said and noted in our pretext for the show promo, that you bring a very unique insight into a lot of the conversations that we have, and we're truly appreciative.
Thank you. Have a really good time. I enjoy myself.
We love having you. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Christopher?
Shall we put a rubber on this episode?
Okay, I'm going to open the box. Which one would you like?
That one. All righty. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Keep going.
Chris announces. I was going for it anyway. I'm taking it. I'm going for it. You can find us on social media. What do you know? Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. You can find us on Twitter, at Gay Talk20. You could send us an email, gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right, the price is right. If you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the web browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host, which usually is Chris.
That's all like 2 years ago.
But it still happens. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message where we can take that question, answer it for you right on the show. The numbers are 334 Gay Talk, and if you need all of the digits, right, because you've got one of those little flip phones, then it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget, we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.